Chapter 49. Lucius Malfoy's Bright Idea. The other schools arrived, and Hagrid wore the most tremendous suit. They ended up having lunch with Hagrid, though they didn't eat much. Hagrid had made what he said was beef casserole, but after Hermione unearthed a large talon in hers, she, Harry, and Ron rather lost their appetites. However, they enjoyed themselves trying to make Hagrid tell them what the tasks in the tournament were going to be, speculating which of the entrants were likely to be selected as champions, and wondering whether Fred and George were beardless yet. A light rain had started to fall by mid-afternoon. It was very cozy sitting by the fire, listening to the gentle patter of the drops on the window, watching Hagrid darning his socks and arguing with Hermione about house elves, for he flatly refused to join Spew when she showed him her badges.
"It'd be doing him an unkindness, Hermione," he said gravely,
threading a massive bone needle with thick yellow yarn.
"It's in their nature to look after humans. That's what they like, see? You'd be making them unhappy to take away their work and insulting them if you tried to pay them."
"That may be the case for some house elves," Hermione said with tremendous dignity. "But my survey shows that even house elves who consider themselves to have a good master have unmet needs that wizards do not consider. House elves at Hogwarts, for instance, feel that the school having a caretaker is taking away valuable work from them, and that the school should consider admitting more students so that they have more to do. It may not be wages," she added with a sniff, "but it is certainly elvish welfare. And not all house elves object to the idea of wages, either, once I explained it to them." Harry and Ron watched this speech with some bemusement, and Harry was rather worried he'd created a monster. The fire in the goblet had just turned red again. Sparks were flying out of it. A long flame shot suddenly into the air, and borne upon it was another piece of parchment. Automatically, it seemed, Dumbledore reached out a long hand and seized the parchment. He held it out and stared at the name written upon it. There was a long pause, during which Dumbledore stared at the slip in his hands, and everyone in the room stared at Dumbledore. And then Dumbledore cleared his throat and read out, "Harry Potter." The discussion about his nomination was awful, and Snape was dead silent throughout. Harry was attempting to think, and nothing was really coming of it. It only really got worse from there. His thoughts buzzing and disorganized, everyone by turns celebratory and suspicious. "Listen," said Harry, "I didn't put my name in that goblet. Someone else must have done it." Ron raised his eyebrows.
"What would they do that for?"
"I don't know," said Harry.
"I think I'll talk to Professor Snape about it," he added.
"That's right," said Ron, something ugly lurking in his tone. "You're best friends with Slytherins now, aren't you?"
"Harry, I'd been having such a good year."
"Well," Professor Snape asked, without elaboration. At this point in their relationship, Harry understood the question.
"Someone's trying to kill me again."
"You will have to face the challenges alone. There is no way around that."
"Great," Harry thought.
"Durmstrang and Beauxbatons will cheat at every opportunity. I expect you to do the same."
Professor?
"Obviously, you will not get caught."
"Will you help at all?"
"Professor Dumbledore wants his professors to remain neutral. You will not let this distract you from your course of study in potions, Mr. Potter. I am beginning to agree with your theory that your life will never wait until someone is not trying to kill you."
He would have been looking forward to seeing Hagrid under normal circumstances,
But care of magical creatures meant seeing the Slytherins, too. The first time he would come face to face with them since becoming champion. Predictably, Malfoy arrived at Hagrid's cabin with his familiar sneer firmly in place.
"Oh, look, boys, it's the champion," he said to Crabbe and Goyle, the moment he got within earshot of Harry. "Got your autograph books? Better get a signature now, because I doubt he's going to be around much longer. Half the Triwizard champions have died. How long do you reckon you're going to last, Potter? 10 minutes into the first task's my bet."
Harry punched him in the face and got tackled by Goyle in the bargain. Hagrid hauled them off each other and assigned them all detention together with a dreadful look on his face.
"Sorry, Hagrid," Harry muttered. He wished he and Ron were talking, because usually he and Ron held each other back from actually attacking Malfoy.
Detention involved mucking out the stables of the Beauxbatons horses. Hagrid didn't stay to supervise. Harry did his very best not to breathe. Goyle tripped Harry into the muck. Harry tackled Goyle into the muck.
"Both of you, stop it," hissed Draco,
standing well back from their filthy fight rolling around the stable floor.
"I'm disgusted to know either of you. Get up."
When Goyle obeyed, Harry stood as well. Draco hissed out a couple of charms, and Goyle and Harry were clean and vaguely presentable once more.
"What is wrong with you two?" Draco asked.
"He started it," muttered Goyle.
"I'm sorry if I don't find Voldemort trying to kill me again. That funny, Draco," Harry snarled.
"That isn't something to joke about," Draco said, paling. Draco in a stable was still sort of weird and wonderful, even without the subject matter.
"Let's get to work," Harry suggested,
and went back to shoveling disgusting caustic straw.
"Peasant," Draco muttered.
"And proud of it," Harry confirmed. "It's not Voldemort," Draco added, poking at a lump of horse dung with a fork as if he'd never done an honest hour's work in his life.
"Sure it is," Harry retorted happily, pleased to have someone he could tell who wouldn't worry about him.
"I had a vision and everything. He's got a horrible long-term plan."
You!
"Me?" Draco ran a harried hand through his hair, knocking it into an odd state of disarray. Harry thought about telling Draco he looked a lot better when he wasn't so pressed, and then decided that was crazy talk.
"I have to tell my father," Draco said.
"Why? Wouldn't he know?"
"He's spent a lot of time, effort, and money convincing everyone he hated, you know."
"Mine too," Goyle grunted.
"How do you think he is going to feel about that? Not warm and cuddly. If he's back..."
"He might be a little ticked about your dad getting his old diary stabbed with a basilisk fang," Harry added, because Draco panicking was funny.
"Oh, and about the dead basilisk. His 16-year-old ghost seemed pretty attached to the old girl."
"Your life is absurd," Draco informed him distractedly, with a look of introspective horror. Goyle was frowning too, though he wasn't using it as an excuse to avoid shoveling dung. Harry decided to concentrate on detention for a change. Draco fell into step next to Harry, 2.5 days later, expression very neutral.
"What?"
"Here, read it."
"Dear Draco, the information about him was very useful to my planning. If Potter seems willing to share more details, it would behoove you to spend more time with him. A revival of early attempts at friendship would not go amiss, in the interest of keeping an eye on the situation. I remain your loving father, Lucius."
"Your dad," Harry said slowly, "wants you to pretend to be my friend for information."
"Mm-hmm."
"Everyone else in the school hates me," Harry continues. "And your dad wants us to be friends."
"Mm-hmm." The entirety of Slytherin is going to want to kill you, Harry added helpfully. Hufflepuff, too. And Gryffindor is going to try to kill me.
You could say no to this nonsensical idea, Draco added with faint hope.
Oh no, I'm not giving up someone who has to put up with me, Harry said with relish. But you've got to leave the bodyguards behind.
Draco's silence was magical.
We can work on Quidditch, Harry offered. We wouldn't have to actually talk to each other that way.
Deal.
So that was what they did. They set a snitch loose, and night after night took turns catching it. Harry won 4 times out of 5 and tricked Draco into scrubbing his own mouth out with soap. At which point it turned out Draco was willing to hex him to his face, and they got detention again. It became something of a pattern, since Harry and Draco couldn't actually spend more than 30 minutes together without starting a fight. And Harry was feeling angry enough with the world that it precisely suited his mood. In another reality, Draco came up with the idea of making insulting charmed badges for the school to wear. In this reality, Draco was busy hexing Harry's teeth. Madame Pomfrey was not impressed. Professors Snape and McGonagall were not impressed. Really, no one was impressed.